Hello, church. I hope you and your family are well. I'm joining you this morning, or afternoon or evening, whenever you're tuning in. But I'm joining you with Luna. She's keeping me company today. Look at this pretty face. Who's a pretty girl? Who's a pretty girl? And excited tonight, we're starting a new series, about enjoying the presence of God. But before we get started with that, and before we come to God's word, let's pray together. Lord God, thank you that you are with us. Wherever we are, Lord, you are in our midst. Thank you that you are our creator and our sustainer, that we would know more your presence and your work, your will in our lives, and more of you, we pray, and less of us. Amen. So I don't think there's been a more relevant time in our collective lives with all that we're facing just now, all of the COVID and trials and restrictions. There's not been a more relevant time for us to enjoy and practice the presence of God. I think for us now and into the future, this is going to be the most important rule of our lives. And I've been rereading Brother Lawrence's The Practice of the Presence of God, which is a book that is so relevant for where we are at just now. And you can actually have found on YouTube, you can get an audio version of it for free. And it's just an hour and a half long. The book is a compilation of some conversations and some letters, but I've just found it so encouraging, challenging as well, but amazing to just listen to as I'm out walking Luna and just hear about the reality and the amazing practice of enjoying God's presence. And I think for us now, it's going to be an incredibly important rule in our lives as we've got more opportunities for silence, for solitude, and maybe our lives reflect Brother Lawrence's monastic life more than we ever thought they would. But God has blessed us with this time, and God is using this time. And in many ways, this is a prime time for us to establish rhythms and habits of practicing the presence of God and enjoying his presence. So we're going to be thinking about that over the next several weeks. And the Bible is full of images of people drawing near to God and him drawing near and manifesting, making his presence experienced among his people in different times and in different seasons with his people. And I want to read some of Psalm 73 for us, 73 verse 23 till the end of the psalm. The psalmist writes, "Nevertheless, I'm continually with you." The psalmist is continually with God. "You hold my right hand." So as the psalmist is continually with God, God holds his right hand. Verse 24, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you." The joy of preaching from home. I'm getting a phone call. Apologies. I'll take that later. "And there is nothing on earth I desire besides you." I pray that that would be so for us today, that we would desire nothing on earth but God, that all else would fall away for us. Verse 26, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you." And listen to verse 28. This is so important for us. "The talking about enjoying the presence of God. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. For me, it is good to be near God. Amen. We know that God is everywhere. We might have heard the word omnipresent, that God is present everywhere, that he fills the earth, his presence fills the heavens, that he's everywhere. As Jeremiah 23 says, that God is made, he is the creator of all things, that he sustains all things. He holds up the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth in their place, and he holds every tiny electron and particle and atom in place. Everyone, just mind-blowing. God is present everywhere, holding, sustaining all of these things. And we're also assured and told throughout scripture that God is with us, that he's with his people always, that he will never abandon, leave, or forsake us, but he guards us and he is with us always. But God does make his presence more felt and experienced in particular ways at particular times and seasons in relationship with his church, with his people. As we saw in Psalm 73, I'm continually with you, the psalmist writes, and you hold my right hand. As I'm continually with you, you hold my right hand. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth, all who rely and genuinely and honestly look to, need God in their life, God is there. James 4:8, you know, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. As we come before God in need, he comes to us. And Revelation 3:20, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. We live in relationship with God, and as we reach out to him, as we draw near to him, he draws near to us. As he knocks on the door and we open the door, he comes in. As we make way for God's presence and his grace in our life, he is faithful to be with us. And through simple patterns of our thought and our actions and in life that we're going to be thinking about over the next several weeks, we can increase our awareness of God's presence and his will and his actions on earth. We can sharpen our spiritual antenna, sharpen our awareness of God through simple things. As we practice the presence of God, the ordinary things of life become extraordinary. The natural things become supernatural. I remember reading about Martin Luther. He was just going on a walk in the woods and he heard the birds singing, something that we've all experienced countless times in our lives. But he tipped his hat to the birds and said, hello, theologians. And he said, because you sing and are so carefree for what tomorrow brings, you are not worried about where your next meal comes from. But we are so racked with anxiety and worry about tomorrow and what it brings. The ordinary becomes extraordinary as we enjoy and know God's presence with us always. There's nothing greater than enjoying the presence of God. As Psalm 73 says, you know, there is nothing on earth that I desire more than you, God. God is our everything. God has given us everything. So in response, we give him the little that we have. I love Revelation 3:20 that I read for us earlier. Look, I stand at the door A knock, if you hear my voice, open the door and I will come in. We'll share a meal together as friends. As friends. You might be tuning into this and you might not be Christian. You might not know God and not made a commitment. Or you might just be struggling in faith, not growing in faith in a really challenging time. If that's you, if you can just listen to this. In order to practice the presence of God, we have to know God. And I just want to share three quick things with us this morning. Who, what? Who is God? Who am I? Who are we? And what has God done? Who is God? God is perfect. God is our perfect heavenly Father, perfect in all of his ways, perfectly loving, perfectly just and merciful and gracious. God is the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things. God is perfectly holy, without sin, without stain, without blemish. He is perfectly light. There is no darkness in him. Who are we? Who am I? I am made in God's image, but I am fallen. I'm a rebel. I'm a sinner. I stand guilty before God. I've disobeyed God. I'm worthy of God's judgment and I'm worthy of hell. And in repentance, I abandon myself before God that he would do as he pleases with me. So what does God do? God, far from condemning me, God calls me friend. God embraces me. God loves me. God shines grace upon me through his Son, Jesus, who he sent, taking on all of my sin and shame and guilt, that he would die in my place and be raised to life. In his death, I share. In his resurrected life, I share. And I'm saved by grace through faith in Christ. God is my Savior. He is my Lord. And he invites me to sit with him as friend. All else is worthless. All else is dust and ash compared to that. To be in God's presence, to know and experience his presence, to enjoy it. The other day I was just going through social media and I saw a video that absolutely blew my mind. I'd never seen anything like it. And I used to play chess fairly regularly. I would always play chess with my grandpa. And the video was of a master chess player who was playing another master chess player. But one of them was blindfolded. So he'd blindfolded him and he was still playing this other chess player. And that just blew my mind that this guy had spent thousands of hours playing, practicing, having chess matches, that he knew the board, the chess board, inside and out. He knew every piece on the board so well that he could visualize everything. I struggle to keep up with where pieces are when I can see. Never mind being blindfolded. But he knew chess so well. He could visualize it. You know, when he wasn't playing chess, I'm sure he was imagining playing chess. And when he would wake up, he would think about chess. When he'd eat a meal, he'd think about chess. Chess was this guy's rule of life. He was all about chess. And this is the invitation for us to practice and enjoy the presence of God, like this master chess player. Not that we can fully understand God and his ways. Of course, his ways are so beyond our ways. He is infinite and we are finite. This side of eternity, we cannot fully understand God. But to make knowing him, to make contemplating him, his nature, his attributes, who he is, who we are, what he's done, to make practicing and enjoying his presence in our lives the rule of our life, to do everything conscious of him, to wake with him, to breathe with him, to eat with him, to work with him, to garden with him, to rest with him, to cook with him, to clean with him, to raise the kids with him, to walk the dog with him. Not picking up a blade of grass without considering God. The more we think about God, the more we do this, practicing his presence, filling our minds with him, his nature, his attributes, his word, living in constant, continual conversation with God, the more we do this, the more natural it becomes. And more we do it, it then becomes unnatural not to do it, not to think about God, not to speak to God, not to know and enjoy the presence of God. If you think about the chess player, it would have been unnatural for him to go a day without thinking about chess and how to play chess and how he would make a move against a certain opponent. He would think about chess every day because it was natural. Chess was imprinted, was impressed in this guy's mind and life, that all of our thoughts would begin and end with God, not picking up a blade of grass without considering God, that God would be so impressed into our lives and minds. That this is the invitation of Christian life, the invitation to enjoy the presence of God, that all we are would be worship to him, that our goal is to be the best possible worshippers of God that we can possibly be in this life. That is the goal of Christian life. Just to finish, I want to think a little bit about the book, The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. You know, when you hear about The Practice of the Presence of God and this book, you might think, oh, it'll have a chapter on prayer, a chapter on sound solitude and all these spiritual disciplines, and that's what I expected, but it's nothing like that at all. In fact, Brother Lawrence says that he experiences God's presence so much in the apparently ordinary things of life, the cooking and cleaning. That was his job as a monk, to cook and to clean. And as he did these things in worship to God, out of sheer love and gratitude for who God was and what God had done for him, this is where he would experience the presence of God. And that it's a mistake, you know, to think of our prayer time and think of time studying God's word and times of fasting, to think of these things as radically different from our times of work and times of walking the dog and times of the ordinary things of life. The outward disciplines of prayer, fasting, reading God's word, and silence and solitude that we've looked at, these are an outward sign of an inward transformation, that our hearts were in love with the world and sin, but we have been changed and our hearts transformed, that we now desire God above all else, that we don't just do spiritual things, but we are spirit filled, and that everything that we do should be spiritual, has been redeemed, has been transformed. The seemingly ordinary natural things in life become extraordinary, become supernatural, that God reveals himself in ways that we hadn't noticed before, through the birds in the trees, through doing the dishes, the cooking, the cleaning, as Brother Lawrence writes about, that as he cleans a plate that is filthy with muck and grime and bits of food, he is reminded of the amazing gospel truth that our sin, that all of our the dirt, filth, guilt, shame in our lives has been dealt with by the blood of Jesus. As he submerges that plate into the water, he's reminded of the baptism that he has undergone in Christ, that he has died to self, that he is joined with Christ in death, and he is joined with Christ in resurrection as that clean plate is brought up from the sink. That all things become spiritual acts of worship to God. The gospel beauty in doing the dishes. That's what I love about the book, the practice of the presence of God. The outward disciplines flow from an inward transformation when we have made way for God's grace in our life, when we have answered the call of God and the knock on that door, when we repent and when we invite him in. When we fill our minds with who God is, with who we are, with what God has done, contemplate God's nature and his attributes, his goodness, living in constant conversation with God. All of these things we're going to be exploring over the next few weeks. I can't get over how impressive that chess player was, that he was blindfolded and he was playing chess so well and so quickly. Even with his vision impaired, he was playing so well with that handicap in place, even though it was put there purposefully. It didn't take him out of the game. You know, he continues to play. That all of the thousands of hours of training that he had had, all the games that he'd played before, all of that led up to this moment and given him the ability to do that thing. All of the services we've listened to, all of the teaching, all of the times we've studied God's word, all of the Christ exalting songs that we have sang, all of the books that we have read, all the teaching we've heard, all the podcasts that we listen to, all of them have led up to this point. And like the blindfolded chess player, you might feel a season of being blindfolded in faith, of missing something, of missing getting together, something that helps us in faith. But in life we face countless troubles, issues, health problems, temptations, obstacles, contradictions in life. Persevere in practicing and enjoying the presence of God. It's where we find truth and life and strength. And even in these troubles, God is sovereign. God uses these things for the good of our faith. God humbles us through many pains and through many labors, as we were hearing about in the life of Abraham that we're looking at over the past few weeks. So let's submit ourselves to God and to his will and bear all things for as long as he pleases. And know and rejoice in the wonderful truth that we are transformed in Christ. Embrace that inward change. Know who God is, who we are, what God has done for us. Make way for his grace in our lives, wherever we're at. Practice and enjoy the presence of God today in all that you do, in all that you are, beginning each thought and ending each thought with him, beginning the day with him, waking to him, every meal with him, every breath with him. God with us as we stand, as we sit down. It reminded me of, just thinking about this, reminded me of St. Patrick's prayer that I have here. Christ, be with me. If we could just hear these words where we are at, maybe close your eyes. Christ, be with me. Christ, within me. Christ, behind me and before me. Christ, beside me. Christ, to win me. Christ, to comfort and restore me. Christ, beneath me. Christ, above me. Christ, in the hearts of all who know me. Christ in mouth of friend and stranger, Christ in quiet and in roar. Lord, you are with us. I pray that this day we would know that truth in a new way, that we would not want to pick up a blade of grass without considering and knowing you, Lord, that you would be with us and we would know your presence and enjoy it as we wake, as we work, as we rest, as we eat, as we speak, as we're silent in all things. Lord, we would know and enjoy your presence, we pray. Amen. God bless you all. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Hallelujah. Well, it's been great having you connecting with us today and sharing our service together. Thank you, Rory, for that word on enjoying the presence of God. And we just look forward to getting into this new series and exploring more about understanding and what it just means to enjoy God's presence in our lives together. So tonight, Rory, remind us what's on tonight.
We've got our prayer time tonight at 6:30 over Zoom, and it's the same details as it has been the previous week. So if you've never tuned in, get in touch with any of us in the staff team or Al, and we'll get the Zoom details to you.
Thanks, Rory. And so from us here today, we just wish you you'd have a good rest of the day and know God's peace and strength and presence in your life as you go into this day and the week ahead. And we'll see you next week as we look again at enjoying the presence of God. God bless you.